Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. Colin says, you can't tell if the wine is red or white. What flipping colour is it? How disgusting. Well, they didn't find a quantity of wine. It was kind of the residue of it that they would have probably scraped off the bottom of one of these clay pots. And as he said, they probably just bunged all the red grapes and the white grapes in together. So, they probably didn't make that particular distinction back then. It was 8,000 years ago and, a free drink is a free drink. Anyway, it's time for to look at some stories from other parts of the world. Jonathan de Burka Butler joins us once again. Jonathan, good afternoon.
Sean, how are you getting on?
Right, Pakistan we're going to first. And an electoral mistake.
Yes, so there have been protests in Islamabad and they're ongoing. Approximately 3,000 members of Tehreek-e-Labbaik, that is a Pakistan political party which describes itself as an Islamist party on its own website, and it is quite strict in its observance of Islam. They've taken to the streets, and as I said, they've kind of shut Islamabad down to a great extent because they want a minister to be removed from the government. Now, the minister's name, he's a law minister, Zahid Hamid is his name, and they believe that he was responsible for the omission of part of an oath of allegiance, an electoral oath that you take. It's not actually clear whether you take this before you stand for election or when you are actually elected, but I assume it's the latter. Anyway, in that, there was a part of the oath basically said that Muhammad was the last prophet. Okay, and okay, there was new legislation that was coming through and that was going to be taken out. They were angry about that.
Yeah.
Because they believed it was basically blasphemous.
Yeah.
Most, and they weren't the only ones who were angry about that, it should be said. There were other parties that were angry about it as well. Those words were put back into the oath, but they're still looking for this man's resignation. Now, the government have said that they're not going to get it. And even the fact that they've shut down Islamabad and there has been rioting, they're still not going to get a result out of this. They say that the whole thing should fizzle out and that they'll go away and that, the words have been restored, so they should be happy with that. They also say that it was a clerical error, okay, that these words were omitted, and they've launched an investigation into it, and they did find someone apparently, but they're for obvious reasons they're not going to release the report on that, so his name doesn't come out. But they're still not going away.
But their suspicion is this is creeping secularisation.
Yes,
in Pakistan.
Basically, yeah.
Next thing you know, women will be driving cars and all sorts of mad things like that. Right, we're going next door to India, and a city has been completely cleared of beggars.
Well, they're on the move to do it. So they want to. This is Hyderabad. Now, those who work in the tech industry might know this city because it's one of these. I think it's the second Silicon Valley of India. They're calling it. All right, so it's doing relatively well for itself in recent years. So what the authorities there are doing is they're actually offering citizens 500 rupees. So that's about €6.50 to report beggars to them because they want to make it a beggar-free city by the 15th of December. Mm. And from there on until the middle of January, I think, they're putting a ban on beggars begging in the city. Now, it's probably worth noting that this correlates with a visit by a certain president's daughter, Ivanka Trump,
right,
who's coming to the city at the end of the month. The authorities say, oh, it's nothing to do with that. It's time to clean up the cities, or it's time to clean up the city and get beggars off the streets. But as to whether it'll work or not, it's hard to know. There's about 5,000 beggars in the city, it's estimated. So far, about 360 have been rounded up and have gone to various different places.
Yeah, what do they do with these beggars then?
Right, so one place they're sending them to is what they're calling a rehabilitation centre, which happens to be very close to a prison. And they are giving them the option of going back home and signing a covenant, basically saying that they won't beg again. Now, I'm sure that in many cases, what they don't realize is that these people are being forced out onto the streets and are being made to beg in some instances. Okay, but either by their families because it's a kind of a racket, or because of sheer poverty.
Yes,
exactly.
I was thinking more the second option, really.
No, absolutely. But there are also rackets that go on, and these people will be sent home, and they basically you know, get beaten up and be told to go back out there, never mind the police. That's why I suspect an awful lot of, about 128 of the 360 people who have been rounded up have chosen to stay in this quote-unquote rehabilitation centre.
And what are they rehabilitating them from? Well, from poverty?
Indeed, that's what I was thinking on the way in. I was thinking a great way of doing it might be give them a house and a job and a bit of money, and that might work. But that's what they're doing.
Yeah, though I think that kind of this kind of thing, clearing out homeless people, street people, when you know a visiting head of state is on the way, that's not uncommon in many countries.
And they did it before when the Clintons were there a couple of years ago as well, so they have a history of it.
Right, Japan we're going to go to now, and this is a story about a suicide website.
This is a grim story. I have to warn listeners, I'm not going to go into the full details of it, but it, as I said, it involves suicide websites. And the Japanese government are saying that they're going to clamp down on these. And it comes about as a result of a very gory set of murders. At the end of October, a young man, a 27-year-old by the name of Takahiro Shiraishi, admitted killing 9 people in the last couple of months. It started in August. And most of these people that he murdered, 8 of them were young women. One of them was a young man. Came to him through a suicide website. So these are websites that it's well known that people go to find out how to kill themselves, or sometimes to find partners with which to do it or help to do it. And this guy was offering to help, was luring people into his house, and instead of committing suicide with them, was obviously murdering them. And as I said, I don't need to go into the details of what was discovered.
People dying by suicide is a continuing problem, particularly in Japan.
It's not as bad as Korea, but Korea is off the scale. But Japan is something like 19 per 100,000 or nearly 20 per 100,000. So if you compare that to Britain, I think Britain is something like 8 per 100,000. And it's a big problem, particularly amongst young girls.
Yeah. Indonesia, we're going to now, and this is a Nazi exhibit in a museum.
Yeah, in a wax museum of all places. It happened in a city called Yogyakarta, and it's been removed now. But basically what it showed was a wax model of Adolf Hitler, life size, obviously. And behind him was kind of I don't know, what would you call it? Not a blue screen, but what you might see on TV, a big photograph, okay?
Right, yeah.
Of Auschwitz.
Right.
With the slogan, Arbeit macht frei, you know, work will set you free, all that kind of thing. But the thing about it was it had Hitler in a kind of, how would you say, a proud sort of a pose. And people were able to go up to this thing and
It was like a selfie opportunity.
Yeah, you could go up and take selfies with it. And it obviously leaked out. The international press had got onto it, and it's now been taken down. But the people who own the museum, they said that their purpose was to display the Hitler figure in the museum as an educational tool. But obviously it wasn't viewed like that. And it was, from what I saw the pictures, it was particularly tasteless.
I suppose because it depends on your distance from those events, your geographical distance from those events as to how they can be presented. Like, obviously that would never happen in Europe or say in the United States, where there would be a Jewish population, where there would be people, you know, who would have a kind of an ancestral memory of that. Yeah. But as far away as Indonesia, it's just something that happened in the past.
Indeed. I mean, it's like us having statues of Julius Caesar or whatever, it's in the past, but you know, but it also should be said that there's a very, very small Jewish community there. It's only in the hundreds. And, you know, commentators have said that there is certainly a lack of education around this in Indonesia.
Yeah. Right. Guyana we're going to now. And this is a story about a policeman with a troubled relationship, let's say.
Yeah, yes. A little bit of one. All right. So this was a policeman who was involved in a relationship with a female policeman. They were going out with each other. She called around one night to discover that there was a bag with $1 million in it, or approximately $1 million in it. I think he had spent a few quid in the meantime. She, in fact, had been on an operation with this gentleman about 2 weeks previously, and another man, where they broke into a nightclub and they found illegal dealings, shall we say. Mm. And it's thought that one of the three was given this amount of money to release some women who were suspected of having been in the country illegally. Okay, the third party in this then gave the $1 million to this man who's going out with the policewoman, and for him to keep. And they, she confronted him on it. And he decided to try and poison her. Apparently, they were chatting about the situation. She asked for some juice, and she discovered that there was a carbon tablet, which is basically rat poison, at the bottom of the at the bottom of the drink.
Ah.
So rather than handing the money back, he wanted to try and get rid of her.
Right. And did she arrest him then, or just break
it off?
I don't
know if she did. I don't know if she did, but he has since been arrested, and the matter has been brought to the internal affairs or whatever they call it there. But I think that's probably the end of the relationship.
Right, yes. The thing is, though, I mean, why was she in a relationship with this guy in the first instance would be a question. And is there kind of questions about corruption within the police force in Guyana?
I'd say that probably your latter is probably a good guess. There probably would be major questions around corruption in that part of the world. As regards to the relationship, I don't know. Maybe he was just, you know, hot.
Yeah,
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yes, right. Zimbabwe, we're going to now. And this is, what was the insult?
So this woman, Martha O'Donovan, she's a 25-year-old working for a TV station in Zimbabwe. She sent out a tweet with an image of Mugabe saying that he was a selfish and sick man and that he was a goblin. And under new laws that were brought in under a cybersecurity ministry that was brought in last month, she was arrested. And the initial charge that was laid at her, she would have got a year for that, all right? So undermining the authority or insulting the presidency, okay? But they managed then to throw on some extra charges against her of subversion. Now, where they got these charges from, nobody knows. And that would have, if convicted, that would send her to prison for 20 years, which is far more worrying, it has to be said. Now, for her part, it seems she got bail for this, okay? So she's out of prison now, and the court has basically said that the authorities have failed to produce the offending tweets regarding the subversion accusations. So she might be safe in those regards. Now, she's in court tomorrow, but that's if the whole thing goes ahead, because there's been recent developments with Mugabe, which I don't know if you've heard about, but it appears that the military are second-guessing him now. So there's been a cabinet reshuffle there in Zimbabwe. The vice president was recently sacked by Mugabe, who's looking to line his wife up, basically, to become the president when he shuffles on eventually. But the army are not supporting him in these measures that he's taking. And about 90 of them, or at least a briefing was given by the head of the Defence Forces, and there was 90 other officers in the room with him while he gave that. And it looks like Mugabe's being threatened by his own army, which is a new front, really.
Yeah, and is there any indication why they're not supporting him anymore, or why that support could be petering out?
Yeah, well, this is what they're saying. They're saying that because he's reshuffling the cabinet, or he's basically getting rid of members within the ZANU-PF party that would have been, long-term, military men involved in the whole independence struggle. They're saying that, you know, their loyalty lies with them more than it would with Mugabe. And they said that ZANU-PF is not a tool of the Mugabe family. That was the most blatant statement, I think, in the whole thing. You know.
I would have thought that Mugabe's attitude was that it was a tool of the Mugabe family. It certainly seems to have been that way. That's an interesting development,
though.
Something
worth watching. All right.
Right, Cameroon we're going to now, and they've issued international arrest warrants.
Yes, this is the government of Paul Kia, I think, who's issued 15 arrest warrants against leaders of this cessationist movement in southern Cameroon. And so this is the Anglophone, the people who speak the Anglophone regions. Which is close to Nigeria. And they've, you know, been sort of struggling for the last year to get their rights recognised. And it seems that this particular situation is really escalating at the moment. It's become very violent. And now it looks like the Anglophone side are defending themselves, or at least that's the way they put it, and they are launching attacks now on the police themselves. So it seems that this could really, really escalate, and we know that there are people, refugees, who are moving from this part of Cameroon into Nigeria now, and the Nigerian government are now anticipating that about 40,000 refugees are going to move into Nigeria over the course of the next few weeks and months. So to go back to the original story, these arrest warrants have been issued. It's unlikely that they'd be followed through on. I was talking to somebody that I know who gives me a bit of information about this, and he says that 13 of the 15 who have been arrested hold passports from other countries. The leader of the group, a man by the name of Tabe, he's in Nigeria at the moment, has a Nigerian passport. It's unlikely that he'll be sent back, but he might be, because of course Nigeria have their own problems with Biafra, which is very close to that part of Cameroon as well. So it's all very dodgy.
Powder keg situation. Yeah. But the fact that Nigeria is anticipating tens of thousands of refugees presumably means within that area there's going to be some sort of armed conflict.
There already is. It's just not being spoken about yet. It's a small level thing, but I was sent photographs of police going into villages and they're basically removing tools. These are farming tools. Okay,
that could be used as weapons.
Exactly. Yeah. But the police are using that as an excuse to round up young men and, you know, God only knows what they're doing.
Yeah, and even though Zimbabwe have their own problems, are they...
Nigeria.
Or Nigeria, yeah, should Nigeria, say, have their own problems. Sure. Are they providing some degree of succour to the to these refugees and, you know, the Anglophone Cameroons?
Well, I think in the Biafrans and Anglophone Cameroons, there would be a bit of support, certainly, there from Biafra. But there is, as I said, there's about 5,000 who've moved into Nigeria at the moment.
Yeah.
And I assume they are being looked after to some degree.
Right, Poland, we're going to go to finally, where you can get pot. Woohoo!
Yes, but only for medicinal purposes, of course. It's quite a move by them, and it's thought that about 300,000 patients could qualify for medical marijuana treatment for various different things: epilepsy, nausea caused by chemotherapy, various different chronic pains, chronic pain. And that was brought in last Wednesday. I don't know. It's quite a move for Poland, I think.
I don't know if apart from countries where it's just legal, is medical marijuana legal anywhere else in Europe?
I assume.
A slew of texts from people telling me what an idiot I am that it's available everywhere.
I assume it's the Netherlands, I would assume.
Well, yeah, you assume the Netherlands.
Belgium,
yeah.
I'm going to assume again. And I think Denmark has something coming down the tracks
Portugal,
as well.
Portugal, Germany, there's countries where it's decriminalized, whether it's legal for medical uses or not. I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's check that out. That's interesting. Right, so what kind of things should we be looking out for this week?
Yes, I don't know if anybody saw Newsnight last night, Gabriel Gatehouse's report from Myanmar. It was absolutely shocking, and it is shocking what's going on there.
Yeah, some of the pictures are horrific.
Yeah, I just ask you, I know we're short of time, but did you see that last night on Newsnight? You didn't?
Because I think they distributed them widely. They were showing when I was in here on air, they were showing pictures of Sky News of skeletal people
it's disgraceful. Carry on. But anyway, US Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is going there on the 15th, so hopefully he'll have a word and see if anything can be done there. It's fairly shocking. The 15th also marks the start of the Nativity Fast for Orthodox Christians. There you go.
Okay.
And then on the 19th, there will be elections in Chile. Current President Michelle Bachelet is not running, so you'll have a new president in Chile by next week.
Jonathan, thanks very much for coming into us. Jonathan De Burka Butler there. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.